Welcome to another edition of Conversations of the Heart. As always, it is your boy T-Till. We have a very, very special guest here, Coach Dave March. He is a certified professional coach. He is a certified MBTI practitioner, published author, and he's also an entrepreneur, also majored in psychology. And he has tons of experience in recruitment. I've had the pleasure of working alongside Coach Dave quite a few years ago. Always been a solid guy and very knowledgeable. So please welcome to the show, Coach Dave. Before we get into our conversation, before we kind of dive in, kind of just introduce my audience. I've introduced you, but just kind of give the people a little bit more about who you are and why you've become, a coach and go from there.
Thanks, T. So Coach Dave March here, in the flesh. I've been a recruiter for a while. I think recruiting's great. Coaching gives me the opportunity to really go deep with one individual, and get to know them, their skills, their personality, have that kind of deeper conversation, which I enjoy. And I found that helping people, get the position that they want instead of, just calling them up with one position I have and that doesn't work out. I mean, can't really help you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It facilitates a deeper relationship with that individual on to what their career ambitions are and walking them along the career journey. So, mm-hmm. I'm an author of a book called Vision in Action, and the synopsis of the book is that I'm helping people walk along the hero's journey, helping them see that they're the hero in their own life, and I'm just kind of walking alongside them to pursue whatever vision they have for their ideal career.
Wonderful, man. The one thing I didn't know about you is that you're an avid gardener. That's something I didn't know. So I guess you got a couple of I think what they call them, green babies or plant babies or something like that. They say, like, I don't know, like they are. I've seen, because one of my friends, he has, plants and a lot of stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, that's my baby. That's my green baby. I'm like, green baby. But yeah, man. So really good to be on this conversation with you here. So let's start here. Why coaching for you? A lot of people get into it for various different reasons, but why for you did you decide to become a certified professional coach?
So in the way beginning, if you go back, when I was like really got into coaching, why I decided to go into coaching was I originally wanted to either go into being like a psychologist, mm-hmm. or being a counselor, one of those counselors at a high school that they speak to and work with, or like working at like a college as mm-hmm. a counselor. But all those avenues seem to be very strict in the way that they wanted you to help someone. It's mm-hmm. You have to be, if you're an educator, you have to follow strict Board of Education guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're, in a college kind of doing that career kind of coaching, you're probably working with maybe 250, 200, 300 people. And you can't really use the specific things you'd want to use, like different personality types that I found to be really, mm-hmm. Personality assessments that I've found to be useful. Can't really use all those kind of things. So I like the freedom that the coaching offers to kind of do what you want to do. And it allows me to use the psychology that I like, that psychology of, motivation, the theories of mind, as opposed to being like a therapist or a psychotherapist. It would be like, it's more focused on, you know, I guess more or less maladaptive behaviors. And so I get to work with more of the theories of mind, positive psychology, personality, you know, the human spirit kind of ideas. And these to me are much more exciting. So that's why I kind of went into the coaching field, just allows me to do these things.
I absolutely understand that because, you know, that's why I got into coaching too. Just because you do get to kind of do things your way. And you don't have to kind of follow, I guess, those strict guidelines and things like that, because sometimes people need something different. So I definitely can, you know, understand where you're coming from with that. So, you know, you are a person that has a lot of experience. I mean, you've reviewed thousands of resumes in the recruitment space. You know, you filled hundreds of positions, right? As you know, we both have that background, right? So when it comes to, you know, recruitment, right? And I kind of want to go into leadership companies. Why do you think candidates tend to leave their companies? I mean, the job market is crazy right now. We kind of know what that is right now. But historically, you know, and in your experience, why do you think a lot of employees leave their organization?
Well, you know, to a certain extent, it's like, I don't think we have too much kind of like compassion in leadership. I think that's kind of the issue. If people feel like they're cared for, they're taken care of, if people feel like they're compensated correctly, and you know, the leadership has created an environment that is compassionate and feeling that way, people want to stay. And if it's not that way, people want to leave. You know, they want to be recognized for the things that they're doing. They want to see their accomplishments being promoted, and you know, just a positive environment like that.
Yeah. You know what I found historically, that leadership thinks they like to substitute pizza parties for promotions and for higher pay and for raises, right? It's, oh, hey guys, we're going to have a luncheon. Oh, hey guys, we're going to have a pizza party. Oh, food, right? You know, and you know, those things are cool. Donuts in the morning. That's wonderful. But nothing beats paying me what I'm worth. You can keep the pizza parties, keep the donuts, keep the coffee, keep all of those things. And I like when, you know, the office can get together. I like all of those things, but you can keep it if it means that I'm not going to get paid what I'm worth, if I'm not going to get raises, bonuses, recognition for all of the hard work and hours that you put into a company. And when I look at a lot of landscape people, you know, I've even seen in job descriptions, oh, pizza parties, you know, monthly outings. And I'm like, that's good, but you're paying this person below sometimes what even the living wages are, right? And so we've got to get to a point where if you're going to have the pizza party, that's fine. But as long as you're paying the people, right, what they're worth, right, and what the market calls for. You can't be paying people, say, oh, we require a master's degree. Pay you $45,000 a year. How does that sound? Free pizza for lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that, that doesn't sound right to me, but it's happening. And it's been happening. And so you're right about that. And people, you know, companies use things to substitute for promotion, for, you know, the right salary. And when the yearly raises come around, oh, we don't have the money for it, but we got money for pizza. Right?
Yeah.
These are things that we've seen throughout our careers. Totally. Right? And another thing, sometimes it's when employees come to you and say, like, oh, like, they're not doing enough challenging work. Right? Have you experienced that yourself as far as your clients?
Yeah. Yeah. Not doing challenging work for sure. That's a huge piece. Huge piece.
Yeah, it's like the redundancy every single day of doing the same thing, not having challenging work, right?
Yeah.
But then it's you're also micromanaging, right? The same work that I've been doing 24/7, 365, right?
Yeah.
That's a thing for me. As
Yeah.
you know, for me, micromanaging for me is I look at that a lot. I disdain micromanaging. It's, and I think the older I get, the more I disdain it. I think when I was young, I didn't really care. As I get older, the less
Yep.
patience I have for micromanaging. And I think sometimes a lot of employees tend to leave because what I've realized and what I know, and I'm sure you do too, and you can attest to this, that a lot of times employees don't leave companies, they leave their managers.
Oh, yeah.
Could be a great company, right? One office culture has a completely different office culture than, you know, somewhere else. I mean, you know, you're on the East Coast now. I mean, it could be the New York office is different from the Jersey office. Then Jersey office could be thriving and it's amazing. And then you go to the New York office and it's the most toxic environment, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, what? How is this the same company?
Yeah.
Leadership, right?
Totally.
So you're right. I think one, compassion, empathy, less micromanaging
Yeah.
and giving out work, right? And but here's the thing about giving out work. And I'm all for working hard, but what I think we've got to do as even leaders is stop giving out additional work and not paying people.
Yeah.
You got people doing two jobs out here.
No,
They're
you got
doing
people
two.
doing three jobs. You got people doing three jobs. What
Yeah.
not, you know? And
In
it's
one
like,
shot. And it's like, come on,
yeah.
guys, come on, right?
Yeah.
It's one thing to give challenging work. Fine. But we've got to come to a place where we got to stop giving people two or three different types of jobs all in one and paying them the exact same thing. You got people working till midnight. You got people that have kids that have all types of responsibilities, but they can't get off the laptop.
Yeah.
It's not healthy. And then you reward them by saying, you're such a hard worker. You're such a hard worker. Oh my goodness, you're going to get an employee of the month. I don't want an employee of the month. I want you to pay me.
Yeah. 100%.
Or
100%.
I'm going to send this email to the higher ups to let them know how much you've been working. Thanks. I appreciate it. But I'm not seeing this and I'm not seeing promotion.
Yeah.
We all seen the emails. Oh my God, this person's a rock star. Okay, so give him the rock star money, give him rock star treatment, give him the rock star
Yeah.
promotion.
That's one thing I constantly see. It's like, and sometimes there's a person in the company that literally just receives all of the feedback and does nothing about it. Like they just like there's that one person you talk to and you're like, I'm working really hard and I'm doing all these things and I'm looking for a promotion. I'm looking to see if I can get to the next level. And that person takes all the information you tell them, they sit with it, and it goes nowhere.
Horrible. And another
That's
thing, and you're right
common.
about that. And one of the things that grinds my gears too is when you're looking at these jobs, right? And a candidate is on the market looking, it says, oh, amazing work-life balance. Oh, there's a lot of perks, right? The pay is $35,000 a year. And in my mind, I'm like, how is this work-life balance? When I'm gonna have to go out and get a second job.
Wow. So true.
No, I can't just go home. Like, yeah, oh yeah, work-life balance. You could take off whenever you want. Oh, you could work from home. You could do whatever the case is. You pay me 35 grand a year. Now I'm gonna have to take this work-life balance at 5 o'clock and go to my second job and work until midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning to survive.
True.
These are the things that I see, and it's horrendous. It is
Yeah.
horrendous on so many levels. And it makes even the process of looking for work exhausting.
Yeah.
Right? You get on a phone call with these, you know, with the recruiters or the hiring managers, and they try to sell you on a dream at first. oh, we have these perks and that perks and that perks. They give you the great up front, right? And then it's like, oh, yeah, 40 grand a year. Do you have your master's? Yeah. You sure? Because it's $40,000 a year now.
See, what I like the most is when they I don't like it, it's more of a joke, but it's hilarious actually. There's a technology that just came out, been on the market maybe 2 years. On the job description, they said that you need 4 years of experience in the technology just came out 2 years ago. Like, is it possible? What Like, how do you figure?
There is a big problem that we're having here in the recruitment process, and once they get on the job. Because I'm always asking, how do we retain? I guess the big question, and I wonder, like, how do you retain employees now? Right? When you can go to another company and get paid thousands of dollars more than what you're giving, than what you're getting in your other roles, and you get these minimal raises.
Oh, well,
If
you know, that's
you get
so
one,
true. So
if
true.
you
Yeah.
get one.
I mean, yeah, if you get a raise, maybe 5%, and you can get
You're doing good if you
15,
get five.
if you get probably
That's
3%.
what that is. Yeah.
Yeah, probably 3%. Which is so small. It's like insignificant almost, but yeah. You have a choice, and then this is the whole point of retaining, right? There's a choice you can make. You could stick out the company and, you know, stick out maybe, let's just go 5 years, make easy numbers. Let's say it's, no, you know, let's say 3%. 3%, 5 years, let's say 15% over the 5 years, right? Or you can switch positions and get a 15% increase in salary just by switching your position.
It's nuts. And then people go, well, why? And when you see resumes of like jumpers per se, it's like, why are you jumping? What the heck do you think? This is not 1980 and it's not 1970 where people are staying on jobs 30 to 40 years
So true.
because they have pensions. Right, they got pensions. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're gonna get pensions out, people gonna stay for 30, 40 years. Absolutely. Right? But everything now is at will. You know how many people got laid off this year? It's a fact. Right?
So
That
many.
thousands, hundreds and thousands laid off
So many.
of work.
Yeah.
Right?
And people are losing faith in these big giant organizations because they say, well, I put a good 10 years into this company and they just laid me off like I haven't done anything for them. It's like,
But that's a real thing, right? So
yeah.
when a company can jump from you should be able to jump from an organization to do what's best for you, because it's always what's best for business, right?
Yeah.
That is the bottom line with any company, any
Yeah.
organization. It's not about you. It's nothing personal. They might love you. You put in
Yeah.
a good 20 years. God bless.
God.
But the bottom line is, you gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah, we
Right.
I like the statement, we have a fiduciary responsibility to our shareholders. That's my favorite statement.
Exactly.
Not
Right.
to the people that built this company from the ground up. Not to
Right.
the people that, you know, have been with you since day one. And forget about the fact that they have families and now they're not going to be able to feed their families because you decide to lay them off because that's just an arbitrary number on a spreadsheet to you. It's like,
Exactly. And I think that in itself is the problems that we're having, right? And we're in a sad place when it comes to the job market. The process of even applying for the jobs, these applications are god awful. Like some of these systems, like you go to apply and you're like, okay, so I uploaded my resume, it parsed my resume. Why is it asking me to do more steps? Like, why is it taking me like an hour to do this application? Like, it doesn't make sense. And then there are systems who tell you to upload your resume, and then you have to manually go in and put everything in. If I attached my resume, why on God's green earth do I need to put everything in manually now? I'm
Yeah,
trying to
no
figure a
idea.
lot of this stuff out. This stuff makes people not want to work. Not gonna lie to you. It's stuff that
Yeah.
doesn't make sense. Like, we've got to find a way to simplify process, right?
Yeah.
And that
Yeah.
starts at the beginning of just even application, right? And then once you get on the job, how do we retain? How do we retain our employees? What can we do to retain these guys? You
Yeah.
know, and it's got to be a mix, like, of work-life balance, paying people a living wage to where they can buy a home,
Yeah.
right? Even if it's not the grandest of homes, but a home for themselves, for their families.
Yeah.
You can't afford certain things on these salaries. It just does not make sense, right?
No.
And then once they're on this job, we get them to stay. What kind of leadership, in your opinion, what kind of leadership training do you think that a lot of these companies should have when it comes to their employees?
Yeah, that's a good question, D. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, people want to grow, they want to develop, investing in just like a mentorship, just mentoring them, growing them, like I know that one of the clients I work with, he does code reviews. And that's useful because like this is where you're going wrong. And this is where you can improve. And if you did this here and here, you'd do a lot better and you can cut your workload in half. Like sharing those insights, sharing those ideas, people usually don't want to do that because it's like, well, if I tell them about my idea, they'll replace me. It's like, oh, they're just going to replace me if I give them everything I know. But at the same time, it's like mentorship is building a personal connection with the people that you're working with. And that's, I think, what fosters the retention. It's, not like there's always that company like, oh, we're a family. We're a family. And they're nothing like a family.
No. I'm very
Yeah.
wary of that when people, when companies, oh yeah, we're like a big family. I'm like, yeah. Okay. I get it.
Yeah.
you know, and these are real honest things that happen every single day. You know, people, I've been in situations where companies said, like, hey, you'll never have to worry about being laid off. You're like this, the team is good. You guys are safe. 30 days later, hey guys, you know, times are tough and, you know, we got to make tough decisions. I said, hold on. Wait a minute, wait a minute. You called a meeting a month ago and said we were all safe. What happened to the family? What happened to what happened to the promise? What happened to the family?
It's gone.
Exactly.
It's
Gone.
gone.
So I think one, leaders, good leaders, have to not overpromise and then underdeliver. Be honest with your employees. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go and say everybody's getting laid off, but if you don't know, you don't know. And don't promise your employees, oh, you guys are safe, because you don't even know if you're safe. You
Yep.
can't overpromise your employees that they're going to be safe. Can't, right? I don't know what's going on, guys. You know, I'm not really sure. And that's honest. Like, I could appreciate when somebody tells me, you know, I really don't really know what's going on. I haven't heard anything right as of right now, right? You know, as far as any kind of layoffs or anything like that. You know, but if something does come up, you know, we'll surely let you know, but as of right now, we don't have any of those answers, or we don't have any indications. I'm cool with that.
No.
But so many people, I go on LinkedIn, I see the same thing. People go on LinkedIn, oh, our manager had a meeting with us 2 or 3 weeks ago and said that we were safe.
Not safe.
It's just like in the NBA or these sports where the owners tell the players, we're not going to trade you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And 3 days later, you're shipped. You're gone.
Yeah.
Oh,
Get
but
out
the
of here.
manager told me I had a guarantee that I wasn't going to get traded. No, well, guess what? It's business, right?
Yeah, that's the worst one. It's business. It's
But that's the reality of corporate
yeah.
America. It is all
Yeah.
business. And the sooner people understand these things, us as candidates and employees, we understand it is all business. And that's why I tell people, do what's best for you. The company's going to always do what's best for them. Always. You can be the best employee. You never missed a day. Kids are sick, don't care. You're going to work.
Sure.
You can get laid off too. 20 years
Yeah.
on a job, you can get laid off too.
And you know what's an interesting thing too with the whole idea of this is like the whole idea of this business and everything. What I find is like people rarely want to be real personal with someone at work. It's like that is a I think that's like a problem to a certain degree, right? Because you want to feel like sense of camaraderie the people you're working with. You're spending so much time at work, and if you're guarded, so guarded all the time, and you're not really feeling like seen, that's kind of just kind of gonna be bad. Gonna be bad for you. I think it's a big piece. So just having like personal, like, that's another reason people stay too, because they feel like camaraderie with the people that they're working with.
Yes, you're so right about this, because sometimes when you have even a toxic work environment, if you have a band of people, it could be two or three of you guys together, it's like we're the family in the toxic environment, and we're in this toxic thing together. And it's like all for one and one for all. We're riding this thing out together. I'm not saying it makes you feel better, but sometimes it does. You could just look across the office and go, it's together. This sucks together. But we're all in it together, because of the camaraderie that you have with some other people. And people sometimes would even stay in really sometimes bad work environments because of the camaraderie that they have with their coworkers. Now, of course, at some point that's going to run out, but it does kind of make it a little easier that, you know what, it's not just me. I'm not on an island by myself. It sucks all the way around, but you guys make it better. You
Yes,
guys
it's
make it
yeah.
better for me to be here
it's
today.
it's the shared struggle. It's the shared struggle. That's what it is.
It is a shared struggle. I think, I think we've got a lot of work to do. I think the recruitment process is broken, and I think the retention process is broken. And leadership is broken a lot, right? In a lot of different organizations, because it's we don't training needs to be had for a lot of leaders, right? On compassion, on empathy,
It's a really good topic. It's a
learning behaviors too,
yeah,
like learning
behaviors,
behaviors.
yeah, it's a really good topic. It just came to me just now that actually I'm working with like a group coaching group, and I really enjoy being with them because there's a lot of great ideas. And talking about that, I think a really good topic is the idea of, let's say we have a salesman or business development person, and he's the number one sales guy. He's got the most amount of sales. He's doing really, really great. He or she is looked at for the promotion for leadership and how he's going to be the manager and everything. And herein is the issue. Ready? person knows nothing about managing and leading people. They know about convincing and influencing people to purchase their products.
Right.
But you want this person to then manage a team and lead people. And then what are they going to do? I mean, if they're not taught, they're not trained, they don't learn the behaviors, they're probably just going to push down, you know, what they think. And they're not going to be a very good leader and a very good manager. So there's training. The transition needs to be done. And that doesn't get done.
And, you know, I'm a sports guy, so I like to reference sports.
Yeah.
And because you hit it right there. You know what that's like? Can you imagine Michael Jordan coaching a team?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul, coaching a men's basketball?
Yeah.
I cannot.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. Yeah.
And they were the greatest. They were the greatest at playing the game.
Yeah.
Like, uncanny, they were the greats.
Yeah.
They would annihilate the players as coaches. They would absolutely annihilate those guys.
Yeah.
Because you're a great player doesn't mean you'll be a great coach. That is what it is. Right? And it's the same thing in the corporate world. Just because you're a great producer, you're making
thing.
You know how to sell, you know how to make a lot of money for yourself and for the company. Does not mean you know how to lead people. You don't. And if you do want to get into leadership and things like that, there should be training involved. Deep training. Like, go away, like, for a week or two somewhere in a corporate office and really learn how to lead. Because more than likely, you're going to have to unlearn everything that you've already learned. Right?
Yeah.
Which and is to understand
yeah.
that everybody's going to be like you.
Yeah.
You were top producer. You did things your way. Does not mean that that's going to translate to somebody else.
Yeah. No, 100%. I think that, you know, my background tells me the thing that I said before in the beginning here, personality types. It's understand people are different. It's such a big piece. It's like what comes to mind is, I'm not crazy. I'm just not you.
Right.
You know, it's just like you have to recognize that there is different personality. People think differently than you, and that is part of being a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing people's strengths, people's talents, and allowing them to flourish in their specific way, which would be different than the way that you rose to the top.
Exactly. So when it comes to a work environment, very, very, a work environment is so important. I always tell, you know, candidates, when you're looking for your next opportunity, of course, look at the salary. Of course, look at, you know, work-life balance, but also look at culture. Because that work culture, like, you're going to be there 40 hours a week, sometimes more. It's a lot of time to be in a place. Does that culture work for you? Is that culture going to be conducive for your mental health? These are big things. And we all try to get the most amount of money, as we should, right? But is getting this big number worth your mental health? Because the higher you go, the, of course, the more demand, right? That's going to be on you. That's what it is. And anywhere, right? You got Michael Jordan level pressure, and then you got the guy on the bench. You're not getting as much money as Michael Jordan, but you don't have the pressure like Mike.
Yeah.
To deliver like Mike.
Yeah.
This is reality. And when you're on, the higher you get. So you got to know yourself Can I handle this?
Yeah.
The number looks good, but can I handle it? Oh, I have two, three kids. I got to make sure that I'm taking kids to basketball, to football, to soccer. But I can't be on at 6:30 at night because my kid's appointment is at 6 o'clock. Right? Or do I have to do that and come back home while I'm trying to get the kids down for bed and I got to be like this on the phone? Oh my God. Okay. Or a laptop. Can you handle that? Some people can, and they do it well. I know a few, and I'm like, God bless you. Some people cannot, but they force it.
And what does that lead to? And what does that lead to?
Burnout.
Burnout. Yes.
Quickly.
Yes. Right?
And then you realize the money wasn't worth it. So I think as job seekers, we've also have to be honest about what we can handle and what we cannot. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be long nights? Because if it's long nights, do I have the capacity in my world to do so? And be honest about it. Because if you don't and you push it, that burnout's going to come fast.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, what did I get myself into? Great money, but I'm stressed out. Now you got high blood pressure. Now you got all types of things going on. You got conflicts with kids' schedules now. You're stressed out. You're trying to ask people, can you pick my kid up? Can you do this? Can I? You know, now it's your world is flipped upside down. And it's like, you've got to say, hey, is this realistic? As job seekers, is this realistic? Right? And as leaders, hey, let me, you know, I'm going to put things on my employees. But I shouldn't put more things on my employees than they can bear. What's realistic out here? Right? Looking at workload, divvying it up in a healthy way, right? And I think a lot of times also what happens is you got somebody who's doing really good work. Employee of the month. Boom. Pizza party. Yeah. Got it. And then they're like, oh, he gets worked on fast. We need to give him what?
More work. Yeah. Can't get work done too quick. Can't get work.
More work.
You know, there's a saying, it's like, no good deed goes unpunished. Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, so you need more work. And it's like, wait. I didn't say I needed more work. No, but you're getting it done. So now you're taking work from everywhere. Now you're pulling on this person. But you're not doing what? You're not giving that person more money.
Money.
More pay. Higher position. And these are the things that are making people quit. I'm done. I'm burnt out. And it affects people's mental health too.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fact.
Yeah. Totally.
I look at mental health a lot. And people take on way too much that they can't handle, but they try.
You know, this is a great topic, T. I think that, you know, when it comes to mental health, when it comes to these kind of emotions that come up, that's kind of the reason why they go into coaching. They want to get a coach because of the mental health issues. It's like, let's say you're working at a position, you need the money, of course, everyone needs money to live. But you know, you're so stuck in your bubble and in your own world, especially working remotely now. That it's like hard to pull yourself out of that. So I think what a coach can do that's powerful is hold the space of what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
For them, get them out of that mindset, because it's just like I really gotta get this project done. That, you know, they told me I gotta get done at 6 o'clock in the morning. I've been working on it since, you know, I don't know, mm-hmm. you know, 12 midnight. I've only had like a couple hours of sleep, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so they're constantly just like focused on getting these things done. Kids gotta get go here. Kids gotta, you know, there's 100 different things,
mm-hmm.
and so there's no like base for possibility but what's possible for you? Such a big piece.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And, you know, this is such a loaded conversation because when it comes to employment and mental health, it there's so many different facets to it. Because if you're on a job you don't like, 40 to 50 hours a week, however much you work, how do you think that affects your body, your mind, your heart?
Yeah.
It's all relative, right? What happens when you are being at a place where you feel undervalued 40 hours a week? What do you think that does to you up here and in here?
Yeah, it starts to break down. Starts to break down, starts to kind of destroy mindset.
Yes.
It could be breaking down your body in a certain way too.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
So, I mean, there's the idea of cortisol. Cortisol, the stress hormone, right? That's breaking down the body if you hold on to that for such a long time.
Yeah, and I'll speak for me. I've been in relationship where you don't feel appreciated, right? Now, imagine that being at a place 40 hours like that. Now, if you don't live with your girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever the case is, and you feel underappreciated, you still feel it. It sucks. You hate it. You don't like it. It's like, right? Now imagine that. Imagine going into that, spending 8 hours a day with it. That's almost like being in a marriage like that. Right? Yeah, you're going in.
It's true.
Right? You're going in every day. And you're like, this is horrible. Like, I need to leave. Right?
Yeah.
But you got to do what you got to do to a point, and I understand it. It all plays a role into your mental health.
Yes.
Now what happens when a company does not do their due diligence when it comes to their spending, when it comes to their budgets, right? And they overhire. They sell their this employee of the whole dream, the whole spiel, right? Now, they overspend. Over budget, they over forecast. Forecast numbers are off, of course. Now recession comes, or the economy acts in a different way. Now you have what happens this year. Oh man, we overhired.
Yeah, it's like.
What do you think that does to an employee?
Yeah, it's sort of like. It's very frustrating. Because it's like, who's being held accountable for the mistakes that you make? It's like,
we are.
That's always what pisses people off. Because it's like, you know, if they make some kind of big mistake, it's oh sorry, I made a mistake. It's like, well, we have to pay for your mistakes. It's kind of like bullshit. Like nobody's happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You know, the interesting thing. So, put it to like this in finance, right? If you don't budget properly yourself, right? Bills come, whatever the case is, checks is balanced, and everything is just in disarray.
Yeah.
What does it affect?
You.
Just you. You. Just you me. Feel the effects of that.
Yeah, individually.
When a business does it, it affects the employee. And then now they go out and now they're unemployed and they have mouths to feed. It affects them. It affects their kids, their spouse, whole household. Some people have sick kids. Some people have sick spouses. Have medical bills out everywhere, coming from all types of places.
Yep.
Because of these things, it affects not just the company, but it affects these people too. And I don't like the emails. Oh, it's with great regret. And we love these people. No, you don't. Stop. Stop. No, stop the emails. This is my personal opinion.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's like, come on, man. You know, and so many people are facing this year. And honestly, LinkedIn is such a sad place to be. It's like I'm almost like I'm going on Facebook and Instagram. I gotta look at something different every day. Oh, mass layoff here. Oh, mass layoff there. Oh, I've been unemployed for 12 months, 15 months,
Yeah.
18 months. Can somebody please help me get a job? And I'm like, man, like that's sad. People are telling the whole thing on Instagram. Hey, I'm down to my last. I mean, on LinkedIn, I'm down to my last. Can somebody please help me get something? And I'm like, how do we get here?
No.
It's very sad to me, because it affects everybody. It
Does.
does.
And then
And
on
it's,
that topic, on that
yeah.
topic too, I do want to talk about this because I find this to be a great topic. I really like this topic in the sense of so when you look at like Instagram, for example, though, when you look at Instagram, Facebook, all you see is like vacations. Like vacations,
I talk about this
and
so much.
I
Ooh,
talk
yes.
about this all the time. It's like you see vacations and you see martini glasses clinking. You see people dancing, having a good time. It's like, where's the reality in these things? People are struggling. Like, it's hard
Instagram
work
is
to
not
build a
real.
business. It's like hard work to do these things.
Instagram is not real. Well, Instagram shows you the highlight reels, right? But also, and this is across the board, I think when you look, I think I saw a number where like consumer debt was in the trillions, right? So most people are putting things on credit cards because they have to live, right? Credit cards. I gotta have my kids eat. And then there are people who just putting this on the credit card just because they want to have fun and whatever the case is, right? It's a whole nother topic for another day. But again, to your point, Instagram sometimes is just not real. It shows you the highlights. It shows you what people want you to see. But you don't know what's going on behind closed doors, right? You got LinkedIn. Honestly, I think LinkedIn is more reality than not, right? On Instagram, everybody's balling. Everybody has nice cars. Everybody's eating steak dinners. Like, that's the way it is on Instagram. But I think when you look at LinkedIn, it reflects more of what reality really is, right? Because people are
True.
given honesty. Hey, look,
True.
I don't have a job. Please, can somebody
Please.
help me? Help me, please. And that's perfectly fine, right? Because that's reality. People are desperate for work. They're desperate for a job. They want to work, right? But it's also discouraging when you go on LinkedIn and you hit apply and it's already 2,000 applicants on there.
No, 100%, 100%.
Your resume is probably not even going to be seen. And it's sad because nobody, no, it's not a recruiter that's going to go through 2,000 applications. It's not even feasible with a caseload. Like with the work, it's just not
Yeah,
feasible.
I mean, at times you have like 30, 40 recs. It's like if you have 30, 40 recs, or sometimes you have less than that. But I mean, I've seen it where you have like 20 to 40 recs, and I'm supposed to go through 2,000 resumes per rec. It's like, come on,
It's
come on,
crazy.
not gonna
It's
happen.
not gonna happen, right? And I think these are the realities that people see. So there's lots of work to be done. Lots of these types of conversations should be going on in the boardrooms about reality. And I think that's sometimes what's missing in these high level conversations with these managers, with these CEOs. I think a lot of reality is missing.
And I want to talk about that for a second too, because I think it's also a reason why people leave their organizations. I could tell you in sense of like, let's say you have a data scientist and senior leadership says, okay, we want to get this done. the data scientist has to say back to him, like, where's the reality in this? You want me to do this thing. You haven't given me any data. You just want me to like manufacture this out of thin air? Like what do you want me to do? You're supposed to like say, okay, we're trying to make this, you know, dashboard to explain these things, and here's the data, here's everything you need to get the job done. It's like, that's work. But if you're just gonna be like, hey, so we need this done. See you at the next meeting, 2 p.m.
Exactly.
Like, so,
we got a lot of work to do, Coach Dave. We got a lot of work to do, man. We got a lot of work to do, and it's going to take time, but, you know, hopefully we can get this thing turned around the right way, because there's a lot of work to be done in this market. So let me ask you this before we get out of here. So where can people get your book, Vision in Action? Where can they go buy it?
You can buy it at Amazon. It's on Amazon. You can go to my website, coachdavemarch.com, and then there's a tab. This is book. You click on there, buy it on Amazon.
Right. Awesome. And where can people, book you for your services? First off, tell people where they can find, I mean, excuse me, tell people, one, yes, where they can find you to book you, and just give them a little bit about the services that you provide.
Sure. Yeah. Just coachdavemarch.com. You can schedule one-on-one, like initial call. There's a Calendly link. There's also a Calendly link on LinkedIn profile. That's the fastest way, most efficient way to, get in the calendar. In terms of the work that I'm doing, I'm finding more and more it's important to create a safe space for people, because it's the job search is scary. Leaving your position that you've been for maybe 5-10 years, it's scary. There's emotions that come up. The work I do is helping people work through those emotions and take the steps to get where they want to go, step by step. So, there's a lot of things to do in there. Like, might have to build up a resume, build out your portfolio, build up your LinkedIn profile, to go to more networking events, look through the job descriptions that are in alignment with your skills, and that sort of thing. And that's kind of where what I do with people in terms of working with them. A lot of it is also advocating for themselves. People don't want to boast too much, and to a certain degree you have to talk about the great things you did for another person to be a hiring manager, recruiter, CEO, to be like, oh yeah, I have that problem, I need I only have like 200 articles right now, and then I look at it, ramp that up to 30,000 articles. Like, you've done that? Wow, great job. I need that, and I should hire you. So it's like you have to kind of boast about whatever you're doing to a certain degree, so that they can see that on a resume, and then they can set up an interview and get hired. So absolutely. I work with them to do all that.
Absolutely. And where can people follow you?
On Instagram, but on Facebook, but LinkedIn is really where people should be following me. LinkedIn is where I spend all my time as a recruiter and as a career coach. That is really where I'm spending all my time. It's LinkedIn.
Perfect. Well, you heard it right here. Coach Dave, we appreciate, I appreciate all of your insight that you've given to my audience. And I thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for being a part of this conversation. It was a much needed conversation, especially with the state of the job market that we have out here today. Be sure to follow Coach Dave on his social medias and connect with him on LinkedIn. Visit his site, grab his book, you know, definitely support the movement as much as you possibly can and book him for a consultation. I'm sure you will learn a lot and he will be a resource to you. So again, Dave, thank you for having, I mean, excuse me, thank you for coming on the show and appreciate you. And thank you for the work that you're doing out here, because it's definitely amazing. It's dope. So this has been another episode of Conversations of the Heart. Please tune in, like, subscribe, share. We'll be back again soon. All right. It's your boy T-Tell, man. Thank y'all. Peace.